trying to decide what reading or what portion of one of the readings that I'm actually going to study and feature after looking at kind of the whole picture. And there's so much this morning. There's so much to read in the reading about a healing that Jesus performs on a man who was born blind. This man is given his sight. This man doesn't ask to be healed. The return of his sight is not the only blindness that needs healing. The men in power cannot see beyond their own interpretation of what is God's will for the people. They want to retain the exclusivity of being the ones in the know, the ones in power. One of the things that resonates for me in this telling is the multi-level understanding of blindness. Some of the people that witness this event see, and some do not. Those who do not hold on to their haughty sense of entitlement and try to discredit Jesus. The poor guy that is healed probably just wants to rejoice in his newfound sight and maybe go home and read a book. But the Pharisees can't let it go. Note that this man and his family are not from some other place. They are not foreigners. They're not members of some fringe group or diseased group. They're not lepers or Samaritans or Gentiles. They are members of the community, members in good standing. And the parents are afraid. They're afraid to say anything because they know that if they speak against the Pharisees, they are in danger of losing everything. So how do I consider these events of this story in the context of our lives right here, right now? Because to me, that's one of the most important things about gathering together on Sunday, is to consider exactly how this is going to take us into the week ahead, to the days ahead, and the months ahead. Well, as I thought about that, my answer became informed by ongoing and multiple acts of hate and violence that occur all around us by men and women who somehow feel like they are better and or above the law than anyone else. Members of our own community, neighbors, co-workers, people who are in some way different from ourselves are marginalized and mistreated by some who believe that they are above the law, or even worse, that they are the essence of the law. In other words, somehow it becomes their responsibility to keep order as they see it. The Pharisees' focus point is that Jesus did these things on the Sabbath. How dare he? He's a charlatan. And even those who kind of thought he might be a man of God were voted down. But who of us believes that it is okay to let someone suffer who needs help because of the day of the week? Well, the Pharisees, who are desperate to maintain control of the people and God, are using the law as their mask to cover up their subversive attempt to declare their righteousness. This past week, a mentally ill man died at the hands of multiple law enforcement and mental health caretakers. The man was shackled and handcuffed, yet multiple people joined in restraining him by throwing him to the ground. Now, I've worked and served in several different prisons, and even the meanest guard I ever knew only had three of his cronies to help put someone down that was causing trouble. This past week, there was a two-year remembrance of the murder of eight people in Georgia, including six Asian women. And even today, Asian women and men are literally solicited on the streets using racial slurs and lewd suggestions because somehow some men believe that these women desire to be at their beck and call. There's a resurgence of anti-Semitism and a movement gaining popularity led by white people who believe that being Jewish is somehow an abomination, that the Holocaust was fake news, that it didn't happen. How many desperate men and women who have fled oppression and violence that have come to this country only to get here and be locked up or even killed. And be clear, I'm not saying this in the context of how immigration in this country should be managed, but I am noting that the violence that many are subjected to by the land of the free and the home of the brave is often as bad as what they were trying to escape from. And even today, we are treating indigenous people as interlopers when it is truly the United States that was formed, yes, by interlopers. How can we kill, harm, and exclude black men and women because they are different? Men and women who are citizens of this country, who fought for this country, who are descendants of people that were enslaved by the colonial white power structure. If anything, they should be given more opportunity. Men and women are criticized because they dare to say, "Black lives matter." To declare that their life matters, that they matter. Declaring this to some people who do not believe that. I could go on with this, but what it comes to is that Jesus is calling us out, and he's calling us out to tell truth and power to all that need to hear it. To call out the power that is merely a shell of what real power is. See, real power, you don't have to try and hold on to it. You don't have to try and convince people that you have it. Real power is the power of the gospel, the power of God. The Pharisees said that they knew God doesn't listen to sinners, but he listens to one who worships and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Even in acknowledging that, the Pharisees continued to grasp onto their perceived power. They said to the man, "You were born in sin. What are you doing trying to teach us? Who do you think you are?" And they drove him out. They drove him out. Who do we drive out? Who do we hold ungodly thoughts against in our hearts? Thoughts that blind us to the dignity of every human being. Thoughts that can interfere with our work as disciples. And they drove him out. How appropriate it is that our psalm today is the 23rd psalm. The iconic words that portray God as our good shepherd, God as our protector. How are we healed to see? If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. If we don't give the credit to God and see through the eyes of Jesus, then we might as well be blind. We can't be perfect. We have to believe in the truth of Jesus. We have to confess our sins, and we have to live our lives in the example that Jesus offers us. We can't be perfect, but we can be kind. We can talk the way of love, and we can walk the way of love. We can respect the dignity of every human being. Jesus is our good shepherd. He will protect us and watch over us if we follow him. Our dignity, our love, means so much to ourselves and to the world. To love as Jesus loved. When I say our, I mean all of us. Do you see? Do you hear the love of the Good Shepherd in your ears, in your heart? Do you see him with your eyes? Do you see the light of the world guiding you forward into a place where indeed we are all together, all disciples of Jesus? And it is our call for each of us to help those who are blind to see and those who are deaf to hear. Some of you know that my favorite poet is E.E. Cummings, and there's a line from one of his poems that says, "Now the ears of my ears are awake, and now the eyes of my eyes are opened." You all, my friends, are the carriers of love into the world, the good news of the light of Christ, the truth of what real power is, real power comes from God, not from anything that we want to organize or develop or worship, but from God. So open your ears and be awake, and open your eyes and see. Amen. Please stand, and let's say together the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in